Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Brizola. Welcome to near the end of June 2010. It's our usual theme, Hector Berlioz's March to the Scaffold from the Symphonie Fantastique, an ancient recording. And of course it looks like a certain American politician was, they're trying to get him to walk the plank in Toronto. I don't think he got the message. About the, and there are people down in Louisiana who are running to, politically speaking, force him and the Democrats to walk the plane and get rid of him. Michelle Malkin, just to digress for a minute, Michelle Malkin put out a excerpt on YouTube with Congressman Fortney Pete Stark, congressman representing the Contra Costa district. I forgot the number, U.S. House of Representatives in Congress. And the guy is clearly senile, and you might want to check out her website. I don't know what it is offhand. I happen to catch it on YouTube. Incidentally, we've got an update, and it's very apropos for gay pride or homosexual pride week or month. It depends on how you look at it, because people are getting tired of this agenda. Anyway, we're raising the issue, and I have a personal experience with this because I was a student at the time that this incident occurred in 1961. On our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas, we raised the question, was Mayor Richard J. Daley, that's the first Daley, the political godfather of gay rights? Now, you hear the Stonewall is the holy word. It's like they're citing Mecca or Rome or whatever, Nirvana, by the gay propagandists and their allies, you know, as the 1969 riot, which started gay liberation. It didn't. It's a big lie. It's false. It's wrong. In 1961, and you can go to our YouTube site, the Chicago police busted a wild gay party in the near north side of Chicago. Those of you who've been there, Rush Street area, it's gay, or was gay when I lived in that area, and not in that area, but in a town, and was an entertainment district, also known as Clark and Perversey, where a lot of sexual activity went on, male sexual activity primarily. There was a wild party, and the Chicago police, 18th precinct, busted it. One of the people who were detained but not arrested and separated from the rest of the partygoers was the prominent son, the son of a prominent and powerful Democratic politician. Shortly thereafter, Mayor Richard J. Daley, who was the most important and most powerful Democrat in Illinois and one of the most powerful in the country, sent word to his functionaries down in the Illinois, in Springfield, the Illinois state legislature, to revise Illinois' criminal statutes on sodomy and the age of consent. And they did that, and a year later, in 1962, it went into into effect. And, of course, Stonewall didn't. The riot at the Stonewall Tavern, which was a mafia-controlled bar selling alcohol to underage people, New York, the drinking age is 18, and I think same thing is in Quebec. And what happens in New York State, is people from kids from the surrounding states cross the border so they can drink. Same thing happens in Wisconsin, where, or was, it may have changed, where kids from Illinois and Iowa went into Wisconsin because the drinking age for beer was 18. So that's what happened, and it was male prostitution. And, of course, a lot of people don't realize that the mafia is one of the big investors and purveyors of homosexual pornography, spy cam videos, lesbian sorted stuff, and prostitution. So it shouldn't be any surprise to you. Ironically or hypocritically, the mafia chieftains look down on any of their leadership or what they call the council of their families that are involved in homosexuality. There's a famous case in New York. I forgot the name of the guy, and he was shunned. One of them went to federal prison and died of AIDS. Of course, in the TV series Oz, there's a case of a mafia functionary who is either given AIDS or has AIDS. I forgot the name of that particular segment. But anyway, Richard Daley, conservative Catholic, went to Mass every day, and he ran the city with a very heavy hand. And Chicago never had a bankruptcy like other cities like San Francisco and New York City, other places. And Richard Daley is an amazing guy. I did voter registration activities when I was a student back there, so I'm familiar with the machine, and I knew quite a few federal officials, representatives, Dirksen, Douglas, Sidney Yates, those kind of people when I worked in the federal building. So I'm familiar with a lot of that. And in 1968, I did leave and decided to go back to school and come out to the West Coast. But anyway, because of him, Illinois became the first state in the United States to promote or to initiate gay rights, if you want to put it that way, for people in the sense that adults could engage in consensual sex, and also the age of consent was lowered to 18. And I know there are some states that have it at 16. Now, another interesting factor that you don't hear about is Idaho, of all places, was the second state to permit enact laws eliminating sodomy, but they did a switcheroo because of pressure from both the Mormon and the Catholic Church in that state. Believe it or not, there are Catholics in Idaho, and these are Basque, descendant of the Basques, the Spanish. You would think that Idaho was just solely Mormon, but it isn't. Same thing with Nevada, although Harry Reid is a Mormon, he's not a Basque. Paul Laxalt, their senator, was a descendant of the Bass. I don't know if he was Catholic because a lot of these guys give up their faith. But I think it could be said, in fairness, that even though Richard Daley, J. Daley, was not a homosexual and he would frown on that kind of thing, he was a political realist, and he believed that people who were adults, as long as they kept it behind closed doors, they should be able to engage in whatever activity as long as both parties consented to it, and that people under 18 were protected. Also, Pierre Trudeau in Canada about the same time said that government has no business in the bedrooms of the nation. So, but interestingly, Toronto is one of the most gay cities in North America. Toronto, Vancouver, and Montreal. And, of course, we have Chicago, San Francisco, New York, New Orleans, Los Angeles. And there's a town in Arkansas, which you believe it, that's known as the San Francisco of Arkansas. I'm going to hear about this one from some of my Arkansas friends. But since this is Gay Pride Month, and fortunately we're at the end of it, these facts ought to be, these political facts that are not fiction, should be publicized. It's just like one of the big political fictions started by it was that awful journalist from the Hearst papers. Anyway, that oh good heavens, excuse me, I'm still got this cold. Elliot Ness brought down Al Capone. He didn't. He had very little to do with bringing down Al Capone. A Treasury Department accountant named Elmer Irey, I-R-E-Y, got a hold of Al Capone's books with all the liquor shipments and payments and that, and they wasn't paying income tax on it. And that's how they brought Al Capone down. When I worked in the federal building, I did meet some of the people who were survivors of that era. There was a famous judge, John J. Wilkinson, and when he was to hold, presided the trial over Al, when Al Capone was indicted by the feds, and he discovered that Al Capone's people had rigged the jury. They had got to the jury pool, and as soon as he learned it, just before he announced the beginning of the trial, he switched the jury. There's nothing he can do. The same thing happened with John Gotti recently, that the U.S. attorney discovered that the Gotti people had gotten to the federal jury there, and so they switched the jury. So this does happen, and of course, we're going to bring this up in with documentation on the web, where there was a rigged jury here in San Francisco, at least two of them. There was one other one. The one I'm talking about specifically is that of the Stephen Nery case, which they tried to railroad him and start the trial here in San Francisco. He was accused of killing a homosexual who was connected to the district attorney and all these corrupt politicians, Juan Pifre, which is, incidentally, probably the biggest and most scandalous illegal alien case in American history at this point. And we'll get into more of that because it goes all over the place, and I'm trying to narrow it down. Incidentally, today, in 1940, the federal government enacted the Alien Registration Act. Isn't that interesting? All aliens in the country, this is just before Pearl Harbor, that had to register. Now, isn't that interesting that here in San Francisco and other places which believes that we should have porous borders, and anybody who wants to come across can, and they can't be stopped and will not be arrested once they get here, no matter what they do. Just before the war, and we are in a war in two places, Afghanistan and Iraq, and on our borders. And nobody is talking about the northern borders and the Pacific border. Here in San Francisco, about 10 years ago, a Chinese ship dropped off some young children, off the Presidio. They were illegals, and they were apprehended, and then they were taken under the wing of suspected Chinese pedophiles here in the city, and then we don't know what happened if they went back through Mexico to China. And what usually happens at that time, or what happened at that time, is that those kids were killed and used for organ harvesting. Horrible things that go on. But this is what happened, and these illegals get dropped off of the California border, the Pacific border. We also have illegals coming across the Canadian border. And that's a question raised about a former judge here in San Francisco, a guy named Kevin Ryan, who lied, perjured himself on documents that he was born, he lived all his life in San Francisco, when we discovered he was born in Alberta, Canada. And we don't know how and why he crossed, but there's a lot of issues there. And we'll bring that up because it affects the lives of people who are in prison, their families, the taxpayers, American citizens who are concerned about truth and justice. So let's get on to the birthdays today. Now, another famous American, his birthday was today, George Goethals. He was one of the people responsible for the successful building of the Panama Canal. And I forgot when he died, but remember, the Panama Canal was started by Ferdinand de Lesseps, who had successfully built the Suez Canal. But the French, when they tried to build the canal through Panama, they didn't deal with the environmental problem, the mosquitoes, which were causing the yellow fever. And that's the first thing Dr. Walter Reed dealt with, to kill the mosquitoes so they wouldn't infect the workers. Incidentally, that canal was built in the wrong place. It should have been built, what happened was, this was typical Teddy Roosevelt politics. It was supposed to be built in another spot, but what the politics of the era was that Panama wanted to break off from Colombia, and so in order to do that, they had to start this war. This is roughly the history of it. We'll get into that another day, but they keep talking about, we have to build another canal there, but we don't even own it because the Carter administration sold it to Panama, and the Red Chinese control it. We can't even get our aircraft carriers through there. Another thing, another birthday today, which is relevant to anybody who's concerned about health care, and that's the guy who founded the Mayo Clinic, one of the most famous medical clinics in the world, up in Minnesota. So, you know, all these things are relevant, and I try to coordinate the birthdays, the deaths, and the events with what's going on today, because History repeats itself, and those who forget or ignore history are bound to repeat it in the worst possible way. And one of the most famous U.S. senators, William T. Borah, and that's not a Borax, he didn't invent that, he was born today. And then for the famous singers, Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald, and the famous song, San Francisco, Nelson Eddy was born today. Another and two other famous musicians, Leroy Anderson, the syncopated clock, and one of the great classical musicians, his father was a violinist, Czech family, great music conductor. In fact, Rafael Kubelik, he was the guy who took over the Chicago Symphony in 1950 and made some great recordings, some of the finest recordings for what was known as Mercury Records, which later became Philips. And what he tried to do, he was the first conductor, music conductor, of a major symphony orchestra who tried to integrate it, bring in, ethnics who were competent, not just for window dressing. And the orchestra board in that time in Chicago, they didn't want that. In fact, after World War II, one of the greatest conductors in the world, Wilhelm Furtwängler, he had some problems with his, he stayed in Nazi Germany, couldn't get out until the end because they were going to send him to the concentration camps, and he crossed the mountains into Switzerland to save his life. He was slated to take over the Chicago Symphony, but since Chicago has a lot of German people of German Jewish origin or heritage, and people who are interested in arts in that city, were opposed to his appointment as conductor of the Chicago Symphony, and he died in 1952. But Kubelik, great musician, he wanted to integrate that symphony, but they got rid of him too, and they brought in another Central European. I don't know what his civil rights attitude was, but Fritz Reiner came in and helped rebuild that symphony and built it into one of the great orchestras in the world. let's see, what else happened today? Oh, we have some other interesting birthdays. We have the senator from Michigan, Carl Levin, the head of the Armed Services Committee, and he believes in don't ask, don't tell, but don't ask him because he won't tell. And then another great musician, violinist Annie Sophie Mutter was born today. Let's see, who else? And then interesting deaths. The great compromiser, Henry Clay. And those of you who remember Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay was named after Henry Clay. I think Cassius or Muhammad Ali was from Tennessee originally. I'm not sure. And then those of us who like big bucks and women, Jane Mansfield, died today. One of the greatest pianists in the world. He was a president of Poland. This is unusual. Ignaz Paderewski, he died today. Another of the interesting events, besides the Alien Registration Act, which is very relevant to the illegal alien controversy that's growing in this country. And, you know, people, those of you concerned about accuracy in language and defining events and controversies accurately, you should get on these people who keep calling this an illegal immigration controversy. These people aren't coming here to become U.S. citizens. I mean, some are coming here to have anchor babies and that, but majority of these people, or ones at least I know, and I used to work with some of them, coming here for jobs. And their economy is so screwed up, especially from our southern border, that they need money to send back to their families in South America and Mexico. And if we would stop tampering with their economy, they would be able to stay down there. And, you know, that's what we would like them to do. And then one of the most stupid, ignorant things I heard today with this congressman, this senile idiot, and he's also a very abrasive, obnoxious guy, Pete Stark, former banker, made the statement at a public, and this is on Michelle Malkin's YouTube site today, that the Bracero program is in effect today, and that's why these people should be allowed to come into this country to pick our fruits and artichokes. I think that's one of the fruits vegetables he mentioned. And that program ended in 1964. That shows you how out of touch some of these people are who are writing our laws or ruining our laws. And he isn't the only one. You know, we've got Nancy Nambla Pelosi, we have Baghdad Barbara Boxer, Feinstein, all these people. They are so out of touch. Maybe it is time for term limits, that two, three terms in the Senate and the House, and then it's time to go do something else or retire with all of your wealth that they acquired. But people need to start thinking about these things. Also today, in 1964, we had the Civil Rights Act passed, and, of course, the guy that just died, Robert C. Byrd. Now, he's not related to Admiral Byrd, the great explorer from Virginia who discovered the North Pole. It was the North Pole. Better get that right. He opposed the, he was in the Ku Klux Klan, and, you know, people ought to look at that part of his history. And, of course, he's another one that had been there too long. And this is one of the strangest decisions that came down from the U.S. Supreme Court. And, of course, with the Kagan controversy going on, and people think she is a lesbian. And, you know, what when that, if that is true, and if it comes out, and when it comes out, it's going to be one hell of a controversy, because we have had gays and gays on the U.S. Supreme Court, but they didn't let their sexual preference color or intervene in their decision-making, nor let their staff attorneys and law clerks. That's one of the big secrets of the whole judicial system on all levels. People don't realize that these judges do not have the time to go through all of the cases that come before them. The U.S. Supreme Court gets at least 10,000 cases a year. Those nine justices don't have the time. They rely on, for better or for worse, on their staff attorneys, who turn over every, I think it's 2 years, and the clerks up there. And we've had this infiltration of the system by these homosexual, lesbian, NAMLA groups, which want to get their people in there and infiltrate the system so that they can color the decisions or get decisions favorable to their political agenda. We need to know about these things and get these people out of there. There needs to be a purge. But we also have to realize you can't expect the judiciary, which is, you know, more and more cases are filed, to go through every case and every line, do all the research. That's what guys like me used to do. So that's something you need to make yourself aware of, because you need to know. You may be in front of one of the defendant or litigant or plaintiff in one of the, before one of these judges on any level. So you need to know who's sitting in judgment of you, who's going to handle your case, or who's going to judge your case. Information is power. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and can cost you, and will cost you. Let's see, who else today? Now, the strangest decision, getting back to that, the U.S. Supreme Court in 1977 ruled that there could be no death penalty applied to somebody who raped another adult. It's very strange. I don't understand it, but that's the way these things are. Now, also today, General Eisenhower became, when he was in Germany, he learned, and of course he was there as a young officer, major, or after World War One, cataloging the graves and other monuments of that were affected by American participation in World War One. One of the things that Hitler built was the Autobahn, and Americans were amazed at how efficient this thing was. And of course, there's no speed limits, at least when I drove on it. Yeah, it's incredible. But anyway, when he became president, the first thing he did, one of the first in his administration, was to get the national highway system, interstate highway system. And those of you who have driven across the country should realize how valuable and how important it was. And, of course, him being a military man, this was to facilitate the movement of military convoys and tanks in the event of a national emergency. I'm not going to bring up martial law on that one. But today, what we need to be aware of is that we didn't have, when that system was built initially, and they didn't envision this, that there should be a lane for bicyclists. Now, we don't have the exact figures, and I will get them if I can, the number of bicycles that are produced in this country and the riders. But one of the problems is these people, the bicyclists, the aggressive, militant, politicized ones, want the special lane, they want special parking, they're not licensed, they pay for nothing. Both the motorcyclists, the truckers, and the everyday motorists, we are subsidizing these people. What the problem with them is they don't obey the traffic laws, and they're supposed to if they are on the roads. They don't have insurance, they cause accidents, and if they're involved in an accident, it's you who are the victim, actually, who pays. And it's higher insurance rates. We need to do something. We need to rein these people in. And you should realize that bicyclists, this country is not Amsterdam. It's not Europe where you have the small countries where bicyclists can coexist with automobiles. It doesn't work this way here in the States. Bicycles are fine for the park, for the beach, that sort of thing. But on interstate highways and on a lot of major streets in the cities, it doesn't work. And I've seen cops finally stop bicyclists who violate the traffic laws. And, you know, they think that they're immune from this and they have special rights, privileges, and exemptions. But they have no responsibility. So I think we should start compelling, if I thought there was a law, but there isn't, at least I haven't found it, to have these bicycles. Anybody who wants to ride a bicycle on city streets and highways should have required to have a license plate and pay for it, and also to have some kind of insurance. Now, a little fact about insurance that people don't know is that if you have a homeowner's policy and you have a bicycle, on a lot of these policies, you are covered if you ride your bike and you have a mishap. So it's something you need to be aware of. But it's time to make these bicyclists responsible, make them grow up. And there's a thing called critical mass, where the last Friday of every month, these greenies, or these bicycle anarchists, block traffic for hours just to make their point that bicyclists should rule the road. And the motorists, they do this at rush hour, motorists are getting furious. And it's just a matter of time where an ambulance or emergency vehicle is blocked by these clowns and somebody dies or is seriously injured, and then there's going to be a problem. So it's something that people should pay attention to because it's growing across the country. Not only that, we are undergoing an epidemic of reckless drivers. A major trucking company here in California has been warning their drivers, this is a national company, that to watch out when they're out there because there are a growing number of reckless drivers. And unfortunately, the police don't enforce it. I don't understand this thing about these black windows. You can't even see who's driving. If one of those cars hits somebody, how are you going to identify the driver? And I thought these things were illegal. Another thing is there are no front plates on a lot of these cars, and the police are starting to ticket them, and they're complaining because they say, oh, if I put a front plate on my vehicle, it distracts from its beauty. Well, that's not the purpose of a vehicle being on the road. We need to identify these vehicles, and they need to pay for the plate, and they need to post it on their bumper. So, you know, you've got to protect yourself, and you need to be able to identify these vehicles if they're involved in an accident. So, and somebody is in a hit-and-run or on the cell phone and they get in an accident, these things have happened. So, again, ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you, and will. This is the end of the month of June. 50 years ago, the St. Lawrence Seaway was open, and, of course, we did have an interview with the late General Philip Berrigan. One of the questions I did ask him at the time, it was done about 8 years ago, marine life or predators or whatever enter the Great Lakes system with these ocean-going chips that are now entering through the St. Lawrence Seaway. Well, now we find we have carp and lamprey eels in Lake Michigan, which is accessible through the St. Lawrence Seaway. So the question is, where do these predators come from? So we'll try to, we have a little problem with the tape. We'll bring it up again. So tune in Thursday. This is Peter Paul Brizola, and let's sign off here.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
All right.
Possible straight. Possible flush.
nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
No, we can't have that. This is Peter Paul Brazola. And tune in Thursday at the same time, and we'll hope to have an update on Blago. Thanks for listening. And go to our internet website, YouTube, Amicus Veritas. Thank you.